There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. We're qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 511, June 23rd, 2011. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the donation button located on the front page of the F1Weekly.com website. Click on it, make a donation. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, Grand Prix de France is trying to make a comeback. Four cylinders are out. V6s are in. Who will Hamilton crash into this weekend? And of course, Motorsports Mondial with the king of Karachi, Nasser Hamid. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
Well, some good news. There's been a reaction over this 1.6-liter four-cylinder, and now all of a sudden, it's a six-cylinder, still 1.6-liter, and it's been pushed back to 2014. Now, Renault were set on this four-cylinder. I think they've already spent $10 million on research and development, because I have a funny feeling that Jean Todt was the little bird at the Renault board meeting telling them, don't worry, this is going to happen. And now Jean Todt has changed his mind. The FIA have changed their mind because of the push from Ferrari and Mercedes and Cosworth.
And Cosworth, for that matter, yeah. Just the timetable was just a little too tight for most everybody to get involved.
Yeah, but they have agreed to delay the introduction of a new engine regulation until 2014. And, of course, this will be 1.6 V6 turbo power units. The four-cylinder concept certainly divided opinions among the car makers. And, of course, Renault, now they're saying that they're in the red zone, meaning they might pull out of F1 if everything doesn't go their way. Now, come on, Renault's built a lot of V6s. I think they can cope with it.
And what does Renault care? Renault's basically, they're only an engine supplier, technically, at this point.
Yeah, but it's still Renault F1 over there, Steven.
Yep, and from what the news says, it's going to stay that way for a while,
that's
too.
That's right. And nobody calls them Lotus. Vitaly Petrov says he drives for Renault, and so does Quick Nick.
It'll be interesting. I wish they'd bumped up the size of the motors to like 2 liters, but a 1.6-liter six-cylinder, that's some pretty small pistons.
Doesn't matter. With a couple of turbos on each side, it's going to scream. Yeah. V6 will have a nice sound. So I'm not down on this at all.
I'm certainly happier about it than a 4.
Yeah, and I think it's good news. I think that way Ferrari could stick with their program, their Dino six cylinders, and Mercedes, who's mostly a V8 kind of a group now, do still build V6s.
Yeah, they build a lot of 6s for their smaller classes. So.
And Renault builds a lot of V6s as well. So I think everybody should just hug and kiss.
And get on with it.
Yes, exactly. So I think maybe Renault may have jumped the gun on this one.
If they have a lot of money sunk into development of the 4, yeah. Because I don't think they needed to do that much development to create.
The problem is, if you want to be a winner,
yeah,
but you got to be a step ahead, Steven.
What are they running the Azara?
That's a Citroën, Steven.
Yeah, but they could steal the plans.
My God.
We know those French guys all share.
Okay, let's move on. François Fillon, our French Prime Minister, abroad over there. He's leading a unit dedicated to the return of the French Grand Prix. And I like this because they want to bring it back to Paul Ricard, Nasser's favorite place. And it's a great track. It just needs infrastructure, that's all.
Yeah.
Just needs some upgrades. And I believe Bernie Ecclestone owns it.
Or he did.
Or he did, or whatever. So I think this is great.
Maybe his daughter sold it to buy her mansion.
Yeah. Filon said, it is driven in particular by one of my former colleagues, Gilles Defigneux, and we are working with the French Motorsports Federation, the FIA, Eric Boullier, and the directors of Le Cassolet, meaning Paul Ricard, of course. So I think it's going to be exciting. Formula One, you know, Formula One in France is...
Well, it makes a lot of sense. The question is, has anybody bothered to talk to Bernie about it yet?
Well, Bernie doesn't really care as long as he gets his chunk of cash.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
You know, I can see us having race, you know, 25...
I still think...
A 25 race calendar.
You know, I think everybody whined and complained about Manny Cool for no reason at all.
No. It was a perfectly fine track.
It is a very nice track. And they still have a lot of activities there.
Just because there, you know, aren't 15 hotels right at the track... Come on, give me a break. Build a tent.
There aren't 15 hotels right at the track at Spa either, Stephen. It was more than
that. Well, why do you think Bernie's trying to get rid of it, too?
That's true. That's true. But, you know, I don't know. Anyway, there's a lot of rule changes. You know, the exhaust on the diffusers and the...
Engine mapping.
And, of course, engine mapping is the latest. Formula One teams are to face a further clampdown on engine mapping from this weekend's European Grand Prix. Apparently, Charlie Whiting said to the teams, he's made it clear that with immediate effect, teams will no longer be allowed to change engine maps between qualifying and the race. In other words, the race has to start with the map you have for qualifying. Now, you can pit, and they could plug a laptop in and change the mapping on the motor, but that would take a long time.
Shouldn't take that long. It's only just a small piece of software.
I agree, but the pit stops today are so short. You know, 4 seconds.
Oh, you're talking about once the race starts?
Correct.
Ah.
That's when you could... Yeah. Then you could change it if you feel the need.
Yeah.
Unless it's... Well, if there's a red flag.
Yeah, there you go.
So... I don't know. You know, I don't know why we're doing all these changes.
And I'm not sure why they'd be running a different map for quali versus the race anyway.
Because for quali, you're only doing one or two laps at peak mapping power.
Right.
And the race is a totally different, you know, challenge. But what I don't like is I don't like mid-season rule changes.
Well, it doesn't sound as though it's necessarily a rule change. It sounds like a rule enforcement.
Well, I think the mapping has been legal.
Then why change it?
I don't know.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, all right, if they're doing it, they've been doing it. You know,
I'm sure that McLaren and Ferrari have been complaining about why Red Bull is so strong at qualifying.
Because they've got better programmers.
But not only that, why is it Mark Webber getting half of those pole positions? It's the driver, guys.
Yeah.
So
it's the driver and the car.
I think everybody is guilty of some of this mapping, and I think everybody's going to suffer. And I'm sure this all comes down to a lot of people whining to Charlie Whiting, and he can't take it anymore.
Yeah, ultimately, it's someone trying to either eliminate someone's advantage or provide themselves with one.
Absolutely. So there you have it. Now we have Valencia this weekend, European Grand Prix. I'm telling you, this is a nice track. Street circuit.
Yeah, it's a nice track. I would like to see it rain. I think this would be a lot of fun in the rain.
I agree. But there has been some procession-type races, but now with DRS.
And the tires, maybe not so much.
It's going to be crazy, but Pirelli is introducing a medium compound this weekend. It's going to be one of their harder compounds ever.
Yeah, well,
so we should be interesting to see. Stops.
I hope not, because that equals processional racing.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Not with the DRS. I think we're still going to have a lot of overtaking.
Yeah.
And once again, it's going to be Red Bull. But Ferrari needs to pick it up. They're expecting to be strong. And of course, Fernando Alonso is hoping that everything comes together and he can still win the championship.
Yeah, he kind of needs to win.
Of course, the big rumor is Jenson Button is now being sought by Ferrari, which they completely deny. But in the end, the argument is good. He would make a good number two to Fernando.
Oh, yeah. He's a first class driver.
Good on the tires. Exactly. Doesn't panic. Sees the big picture. Makes sure that he finished the race, unlike his compadre.
Yeah. So what is it now? You have a good race, and then instantly you're linked to Ferrari?
I don't think so. I'm sure he's going to sign with McLaren. It's already pretty much wrapped up.
And from what the articles I read, there were no discussions. It was, kind of one of those Italian news...
No, but this is a good way to get your marketing value higher.
True.
And that's what it's all about, Steve. His manager probably put it out there.
Yeah, probably called an Italian newspaper and went...
It's standard procedure, Steve. But anyway, yeah, and of course for me, is Lewis Hamilton going to finish this race?
Yeah. Good question.
Is he going to be called in by the stewards?
It should be interesting to see.
To be honest with you, I think some of this is going to start getting into him, his psyche.
And his cranium.
And I'm telling you that psychological warfare is everything. And Jenson Button is going to have the upper hand at McLaren. Because I think Hamilton is going to start, this is going to be on the back of his mind. Our steward for this weekend is Hans
Helfrinsen?
Yes, Hans Helfrinsen. And I liked him. He wasn't a great driver, but he was a good number two and hung out a lot. And Schumacher married his girlfriend. So there you have it. But anyway, it's going to be fun. Of course, Nick Heidfeld and Vitaly Petrov think that they're going to make a step up. And I don't, Vitaly's driving well. He's been getting a lot of praise from Mansell to Jean Zalesi. But still... And of course, he himself, Vitaly says, from one year to another, it's like a switch that turns off. Something in your mind. At an event to mark the opening of the revamped Hethel test track of Group Lotus headquarters, he was babbling there, and he goes, I feel I am at home, and they support me all year. Speaking of Renault, this may be why the results are here this year. Mansell said of Vitaly, the Russian has done a fantastic job under a lot of duress this year. I can see great things from him going up against big names like Ferrari, McLaren, and Red Bull. I think these people are smoking.
It sounds to me like somebody slipped him a 20.
Yeah, perhaps. Jean Zalesi said, straight away this year, we have been very impressed with his podium, and he surprised everybody. But that was a while ago. I mean, I don't know. I'm not impressed with anything that's happening at Renault unless you're, top three.
Well, top three and or challenging for top three. In the last three, since their last podium, they really haven't even challenged to get towards the podium.
I agree.
Heidfeld can't seem to finish a race at the moment.
Right. Well, and of course, the other story, Toro Rosso, Jaime Alguersuari, Sebastian Buemi. When will Ricciardo replace one of those guys? We're reaching mid-season. I don't know. I'm starting to think it might not happen.
Might not. They're both racing reasonably well. Neither of them's really outpacing the other, and they're not getting, run down by the bottom three teams. They're competitive with Sauber and Williams. It's going to be tough to get rid of one of them unless, somebody has a really bad streak in the next couple races.
Williams coming in with a new upgrade to their diffuser, and
which will not work because they can't map the engine to use it.
Whatever. We'll see what happens. I think everything's going to be fine. I think this mapping has been blown out of proportion. We'll see what happens. But still, also, Mark Webber needs to win a race this season.
Mark Webber needs a pole, let alone a race win.
Yeah, I agree. The car is there. Of course, Kurz has been very undependable, and his car seems to always have the gremlins.
The bigger, yeah.
But still, Mark Webber, we've got to see a win from him. just so we could save face.
Yeah, exactly. Just to you know, not have to really suborn himself to that number two role.
Absolutely. And the other person that needs a win is Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, well, if Fernando wants to continue to challenge for the season, he needs to win, because otherwise Ferrari's going to throw in the towel and he's going to be doing development the rest of the year.
That's very true. And I would think that if, well, I think once Silverstone comes, mathematically, they're going to be almost out.
Yeah, they seriously, at the very least, need a podium without Vettel on the top.
Yeah, no, it's going to be tough. If Vettel wins this race, I'm telling you, it's over. Everybody should just.
It's going to be really difficult.
It will be difficult.
You know, he's a fantastically large lead at this point already. You know, and the Red Bull has proven to be reliable enough to finish top five no matter what, whether Kurz is working or not. If they just keep it on track and don't make any stupid mistakes.
I concur.
At this point, it's his championship to lose.
Okay. And, of course, now we're coming into the race where we saw Sebastian Vettel make a mistake. That tragic mistake in the last lap that gave the win to Jenson Button. This is going to be on his mind a little bit. Probably on Friday, he's got to shake it off. Vettel's got to run a perfect race as well to prove to his people that he's still number one.
Yeah, so much going on in Canada. It's, you know, to lose it on that last lap, you know, that's a little bit DRS, that's a little bit of a bobble. That's, you know, maybe Vettel pushing a little harder than he needed to in the moment. I think he'll be fine. He's a resilient and tough kid. He'll bounce back this week.
Keep up the good work, Steven. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break because we've got an outstanding Motorsports Mondial. And the race recap for this weekend will have to wait until the midweek show because Steve and myself are both on holiday this weekend. So we're taking a little break, but we will have the race recap with the midweek show. And we'll get a little comment from Nasser on that as well. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and here's a message from Bell Auto Care.
Do you own a European or Japanese vehicle and live in the New York tri-state area? Then I want to tell you about Bell Auto Care. Bell Auto Care is a Bosch authorized repair shop with over 35 years of dedication in providing honest, friendly, and up-to-date repair and preventative maintenance to vehicles like yours and mine. Not only is this the shop in the New York area to take your European or Japanese car, they are F1 and MotoGP enthusiasts as well. So go to bellautocare.com to check out their special deals, F1 and MotoGP news, or for more information, and ring their bell to care for your car.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Swami, the Guru, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings, a little taste of honey with a little taste of motor racing from around the world. Two in a row for Tomczyk in DTM, Tinks takes his first in British F3, Wickens wins Wet and Wild in World Series by Renault, Monsieur Ogier wins Acropolis, and most important for moi and my people, Homie wins his season opener in Navarra, Viva España. I'm very happy about this. In other delights, we will whip up info on IndyCars from Milwaukee and NASCAR Thunder from Irish Hills in Michigan. Did you get to watch any of the NASCAR race, sir?
I watched a little bit while I was picking my four-leaf clovers.
Cool. Did you enjoy?
No, I loved it.
Okay, good. We shall begin the begin with DTM from Lausitzring near Dresden. In old days, it was known as East Germany. And back-to-back win for Martin Tomczyk in his Audi. Timo Scheider was second in another Audi, and third was Bruno Spengler of Canada. And Bruno, when racing in Europe, hangs out at his grandmama's house in Strasbourg, which was also the home of French sports car legend Bob Wallach. And I'm sure you remember Bob Wallach.
He was my buddy.
Yeah, he was killed in a traffic accident at Sebring some years ago, which was very sad. Ralf Schumacher was 12th and his buddy DC David Coulthard was 13th. Martin Tomczyk has now taken the lead in the championship from Spengler. We stay in Germany and go from one ring to another, the Nürburgring for World Series by Renault. And if you go on their website and YouTube, there is a lot of action posted. It was a great, great battle. Canadian Robert Wickens was on fire in the rain. Pole position and a great victory in race one over Daniel Ricciardo. Anytime you can beat Daniel Ricciardo or Jean-Éric Vergne, you're doing very well. Also doing a great job was rookie from Estonia, Kevin Korjus, who came in third, and he has been the surprise of the season. Championship leader Jean-Éric Vergne and Alexander Rossi were out on the opening lap after coming together. In race two, Korjus was the winner in the wet over Wickens, and Toronto from Toronto, which is a name for Robert Wickens, now leads the championship. And the interesting thing was that Renault has put out a talk about carrot juice, a dangling a carrot that whoever leads the championship after this round, the prize will be a get to drive in the Renault Roadshow. And this, I believe, is happening in Budapest, Hungary. So good for Robert Wickens. And I've been following Robert Wickens' career since the days he was in Formula BMW. He's a very good talent, and I would love to see him. It will be very sweet, you know, if he can win this championship. He used to be in the Red Bull program, and they blew him out, which I think was not the smartest thing to do because he had done very well that year. But, and now if he wins, it will be over two Red Bull drivers, Ricciardo and Jean-Éric Vergne, who both are very good. Feroz Fawzi of Malaysia was third, and your homeboy Jean-Éric Vergne fourth, and Ricciardo fifth, and this was in the race too. Alexander Rossi, our friend from Northern California, again lasted only one lap and now finds himself in sixth position in the championship with 73 points. Wickens leads with 132 points, 30 more than joint second place drivers Korjus and Vergne. Korjus, very impressive. Vergne, it was expected. Ricciardo was expected, but Korjus won the Formula Renault 2-liter series last year, and it's very impressive to be second in the World Series, but not very good. Any thoughts, any comments from the peanut or the carrot gallery?
You mean from the Duke of Dijon?
Yes, sir.
Yes. No, I thought the whole weekend at Nürburgring looked fantastic with a lot of activities. Of course, there...
Every race there was a Renault winning.
That's the best part. Yeah. It's one of my favorite gatherings.
Yes. And talking of Dijon-Prenois, you know this news item that French Grand Prix might come back. And I'm really, really hoping it goes to... Paul Rica. It has a lot of history. It's a fabulous location. And
great.
And when was it? Last year I went to, drove from Nice to Bandol, which is a coastal town in the Mediterranean. And I was short on time because I was on my way to Lyon. But hopefully next year I will make it onto Circuit Paul Rica.
A pilgrimage.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
And that Mistral Strait is fantastic. And the corner scene, or whatever it is called after the Mistral Strait, that is fantastic too. So I would love to see the French Grand Prix back at, you know, it has the Italian Grand Prix at Monza, French Grand Prix at Paul Riga. It has what you would call l'ATF.
Exactly.
Yes, thank you, sir. So more Renault winning here, Formula Renault Euro Cup. First win of the season for another of F1 Weekly's friend, Dutch driver Robin Vriens and his Kaufman Racing team. So they are very elated about it. Carlos Sainz Jr. of Spain was second for Finnish team Koiranen Brothers. Norman Nato of France was third for RA's Grand Prix. Second race of the weekend was won by a Russian driver from Ufa, comrade Daniel Kvyat, and he's also in the Red Bull Junior program, just like Carlos Sainz Jr., and Sainz Jr. was second in this race. Timmy Hansen was third, and he is from Sweden, and Vriens, winner of the first race, finished fifth. Now, interestingly, this was the first weekend Sainz Jr. did not win a race, but still collected more points than any other driver over the weekend, and still leads the championship with 119 points. Vriens is second on 93, Kvyat third with 78. And like I said, both Sainz Jr. and Kvyat are in good hands of Dr. Helmut Marko, but these hands become very slippery when you are not winning. And Carlos Sainz, I think he is headed for a great career. This is only his, I think, second year in motor racing, and just tremendous racing talent. Like Papa, like son, so that's good. Next, we go to Brno to check out World Touring Car Championship. Win number 5 of the season for Rob Huff in a Chevy. Fellow Chevy drivers were 2nd and 3rd, Ivan Muller and Alain Menu, respectively. Race 2 was won by Ivan Muller and Tom Coronel. And if I'm not mistaken, Tom Coronel, I believe, did some IndyCar races here also, or tried to do some action in the IndyCars in the Halcyon days of Champ Cars. He was 2nd in his BMW. And there is also a driver in this series from Morocco, Mehdi Benani, and he was 10th in his BMW. Huff and Puff leads the championship, 187 points to 162 over Ivan Muller. Menu is 3rd with 134 points. The website is www.fiawtcc.com, and videos are available. And pretty nice website. Now we go to AutoGP. In days gone by, this was known as the Euro 3000 series, and previously they were using the old Formula 3000 cars. Now they are using the first generation A1GP cars. It's amazing, you know.
It's recycling.
Yeah, exactly. But it's good, you know, it brings the cost down. Surprise, this was very interesting. Surprise pole winner was Rio Haryanto of Indonesia. And he's from the, you know, the province of Java. So, which is interesting. Who is also racing in GP3 this year. Race winner was Luca Filippi. You know him from the GP2 days. And Rio flowed out of top 5 to finish 6th. Samuel Buttarelli was the winner in race 2. Rio Haryanto was 2nd and Filippi 3rd. And now we go to the very first track I ever saw in my life. Brands Hatch in the Green Hills of Kent for British Formula 3. 3 races each weekend. Winner in the first race was Lucas Foresti from Brasilia. And 2nd was his homeboy and buddy from karting days, Felipe Nasser. Race 2 saw a maiden win for an old F1 Weekly friend, Mr. Harry Pinknell. And I'm very happy that it happened. I sent him a congratulatory note. Minashe Idafar from Bahrain was 2nd. And Carlos Huerta from Colombia was 3rd. Final race in the rain was won by Felipe Nasser over Lucas Foresti. Nasser extends his lead in the championship, and as we've mentioned a few times before, he is managed by Steve Robertson of Kimi Raikkonen fame. And you have to repeat saying these things because we have so many robots, you know, joining us. So, you know, I just want to keep all the robots well informed.
I understand.
Thank you, sir. In the championship, we have a Latin love fest going on. Felipe Nasser leads with 154 points. 2nd is Foresti with 109 points, and Colombian Carlos Huertas is 3rd with 95 points. Jasmine Jaffer of Malasi, also known as Malaysia, is 4th, and William Buller is the first local chap in 5th. And it will be interesting to see, you know, this is Felipe Nasser's 2nd year in British F3, and he probably will win the championship. He's already won a few races. Interesting to see where he will land next year. I would be surprised if Steve Robertson takes him to GP3. I have a feeling he might either go World Series or come into GP2 on a 2-year program. But the guy is very good talent. But, you know, I got to tell you something. So is Jules Bianchi. So is Esteban Gutierrez. And they are both of them with ART, which is one of the best teams. And Jules Bianchi was winless last season and has yet to win a race this year. But still a very good driver. And Esteban Gutierrez, as good as he is, he's, you know, trying to find, you know, where the 2 feet are. I mean, it's very competitive in GP2. And the problem you run into, you have guys who are in their 3rd or 4th year of GP2, so that really makes it hard. Okay, from one British track to another, Croft for BTCC, British Touring Car Championship. Close finish between race winner Matt Neal in a Honda and Matt Jackson in a Ford in race 1. Neal was victorious in race 2 also. 2nd was Rob Collard in a BMW, or a Bamer, as they call it in Bristol. Bristol, UK, not Bristol, Tennessee. There's also a Bristol in Connecticut where ESPN is out of from.
What about Kentucky?
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere.
Isn't there a track in Bristol, too?
Oh, yes. Matt Jackson won the 3rd and final race of the season over the BMW of Nick Foster. Next, WRC. Sebastien Ogier on top at Acropolis. And you know, when my interest in rallying predates interest in Formula One. When I started following rallying, there were 3 rallies: Acropolis, East African Safari, and Monte Carlo. And I have never been to the continent of Africa and Latin America. Latin America, hopefully I'll take care of it this year, later in the year. But I would like to go to Kenya and check out the... And in the old days, it used to go from Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and now it's all Kenya. But it's still a great event. I'm sure you're familiar with this thing.
Absolutely.
Safari Rally.
C'est la fiesta résistance.
There you go. And so anyway, Ogier won in Greece. Second was fellow Francais, Citroën teammate, and namesake Monsieur Loeb. Mikko Hirvonen was third in a Ford. His fellow Finn, the Quiet Storm, Kimi Raikkonen, was seventh in his Ice One Citroën. So here's the deal. In WRC, he is driving Ice One. In NASCAR trucks, he is driving Perky One. And in Nationwide, it will be Jerky One.
Jerky One?
Yes, he's just number one.
I love that guy.
Yeah, I know. No matter where he goes. Indy cars from Milwaukee Mile, where they have been racing since 1903, 8 years before Indy 500 started. Very, very impressive. Dario Franchitti from Scotland was the winner. Did anybody check out any of the action from Milwaukee?
I caught some of the highlights on speed.
That's good.
It was exciting.
How about you, Steve?
Steve is watching everything.
Steve's watching everything?
No, didn't see any.
The Indy Lights race was won by Esteban Guerrieri of Argentina. So I think this was his first win here. So congratulations to him. Last year he was racing in World Series by Renault. So good for him. And the U.S. Formula 2000 race was won by Wayne Boyd of Northern Ireland. And all this was happening at the Milwaukee Mile. Zach Veach, who is a young, talented American kid, he was second. And Petri Suvanto of Finlandia was fifth and retains the championship lead. I chat with him fairly regularly. He was in Formula BMW Europe last year with Kaufman Racing. So we have a good, you know, connection with him. From Milwaukee, though, this is your favorite now, from Milwaukee to Michigan for the NASCAR Cup race. Winner Denny Hamlin in his FedEx Office Toyota. First win of the season for the Virginia driver. Second was Wisconsin's finest, Matt Kenseth. Rowdy Bush, meaning Kyle Busch, was third. Greg Biffle, your favorite, and I was so happy when, and I watched most of this race. Greg Biffle led 68 laps and finished 15th. Which is a pretty good result in NASCAR. Okay, now this is very important stuff. Dale Earnhardt Jr., the Danica Patrick of NASCAR in terms of popularity, has now gone 3 years and 108 races without a win, making him Danica Patrick of NASCAR in terms of racing reality. And that was the Zinger of the Day, sponsored in part by Canada Dry Ginger Ale, now being served at the Palatial Studios. And this is...
It's good stuff,
factual statement.
This is a step up for us in the cafeteria.
Yeah, absolutely. And you may ask yourself, who was the sponsor of the race? And this is where NASCAR has really blown away all form of motorsports in this country. The answer is hell of a good sour cream dips. You know, when you can get corporate America from sour cream dips to pork, the other white meat, and butterball turkey as sponsors for your event, you know your series is cooking well. And just to give NASCAR is top 10 top racing here, Indy cars or IL, top open wheel. On the other hand, we have the saga of Indy cars. The first IRL sponsor was Northern Lights. They went dim and south with the .com crash and burn. Do you remember them?
Oh, brutal.
Yeah. Then the series was trying to repair the damage by Pep Boys, but Manny Joe and who knows who took them to court. So that was a bitter divorce there. And after many years of naked run, they are now properly dressed up with sponsorship from Izod, which is a long-term crock of a deal. So they've landed a pretty good deal there. And, you know, irony is, and I say this not as a negative, but it's a factoire, the company, marketing company that was involved in putting the two together, they are now suing IndyCars that their commission in full has not been paid.
Fascinating.
So anytime there is money involved, big money, nobody's ever fully satisfied ever.
Seems to follow open wheel racing in America.
No, these things happen all the time, man. My favorite was when it comes to money is when, what was her name, Brooke Gordon filed for divorce from Jeff Gordon. He was and still one of the biggest names. And... her attorneys basically told his attorneys, hey, the income and all this, you know, funds are coming into Jeff Gordon's bank account. We don't buy this thing. And if you don't provide us all the factual information, accurate information, you know what they were going to do? They were going to subpoena the contract of other drivers because they figured if he's saying I'm making X and a guy who has not won a race in 3 years cannot be making more than Jeff Gordon. So they wanted to, you know, nail him by saying, hey, how can you be making less money than Greg Biffle or Dick Trickle?
Why did you subpoena his contracts?
Well, you know, no, his contracts, you know, the team can take care of him, but there are always so many side deals, you know. So it's just, but Brooke made it out with Brooke Bourne. She's sipping tea, hot and cold, on his yard.
So beautiful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, okay, now we go to Land Down Under, to Hidden Valley for Australian V8 Series. And Hidden Valley track is in Darwin, which is a pretty well-known Australian city. Rick Kelly was the winner in race one over Steve Johnson. Race two was won by Shane Van Gisbergen, who was from New Zealand, over Lowndes. And Frosty was third, who was also, I mean, his actual name is Mark Winterbottom. And championship win cup leads, Lowndes second and Gisbergen third. And I am told that the Australian V8 people are looking to get a race in America, which will be great, I think. And the WTCC people are also looking to get a race here. And talking about races here, now there is some brouhaha going on about the U.S. Grand Prix, the Texas local council. They don't want to pay the fee or whatever commitment they had made. But, you know, and also on the forum, some people have put that it's going to be 80, 90 degrees in at the time the race takes place.
It so, can be. It not always is.
Yeah, but it's not going to be 60, 70 if
no,
it can
it's not,
be 80.
It'll be cool.
Yeah. But I've heard that Austin is a pretty happening town. So
it is a happening town.
So let's hope, you know, this is all talk.
Yes. It's gonna happen. There's a petition going around now. And on that website I've posted on the forum, if you go to that petition website, all the council members' email addresses are there as well. So you can send them a little letter and tell them where to put it.
Yeah.
Well, remind them that the revenue that they're going to gain by having all those Formula One fans come to town will be more than enough to offset the price of admission.
Well, I'm just working on the big F1 Weekly banner that says "Welcome, race fans."
No, what we should do, seriously, what we should do, we should have a hot dog on Saturday after qualifying, a hot dog stand free for the F1 Weekly familia, and we'll have some hot dogs and some, you know, PBR.
This is Austin, Nasser. This is where you
sophisticated
have in-flight burritos.
Oh, we can do that also.
Yeah.
We can have in-flight burritos there.
This is, you know,
and Corona with lime.
Tex-Mex food.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So this is going to be
I just hope it's not so hot that only 5 cars start the inaugural U.S. Grand Prix in Texas.
It's going to be hot. That's why I'm wearing my special outfit.
What is your special?
It's
a thong?
Being designed as we speak.
Oh, okay.
F1 Weekly
thong.
Speedo.
Fantastic. A thong in Texas.
Well, people have, you know, the Tricky Dick Clark Rogers underwear, I think, were on the forum a few years ago. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, we wrap up the...
Let's wrap it up, Ness.
We wrap up the Motorsports Mondial with a little bit of more music from Mr. Herb Alpert and the TJ Brass. And this is his tribute to Highway 101, which runs up and down the great California state, the Golden State. Ciao.
Thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Are you in business and want to make a hard-hitting visual impact that gets your name and message promoted? F1 Weekly knows from experience that the creative team of Caton Designs are graphic design geniuses and a company that can give your brand a visual pop in a cost-effective way. Contact Caton Designs at ketondesigns.com for visual messaging solutions that get your business image seen.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And let's go to the wrap-up with the forum updates.
This week's forum updates brought to us by Chemix. Thanks, Chemix. It's been a relatively quiet week on the forum with no GP this weekend, although, as ever, there is still some activity to keep us tickling over between races. The Pip Babes thread made a welcome return after the Canadian GP, and there was renewed activity in the Countryside thread, which has now reached nearly 6,200 replies. In other news, the first pictures of Robert Kubica after his accident continue to be discussed, with speculation on when he might return. Is a drive in the Brazilian GP a real possibility? We also continue to be astounded with the ever-outlandish claims of Danny Behar, who now says the new Lotus Esprit will be more authentic than the Ferrari 458 Italia and McLaren MP412C. Good luck with that, Danny. I think Tony Fernandez will be looking in his pocket for a ringgit sooner than later. Keep up the good work, guys. Thanks, Kimix.
Forum is always rocking, and there's always great stuff on the forum. I happen to love it. I go there every day. Anyway, San Francisco Formula One Group, also known as SFF1.com, they'll be getting together for the Grand Prix of Europe at Kezar Pub in beautiful downtown San Francisco. Starts at 9 a.m. Sunday, June 26th. And of course, Kezar Pub is at 799 Stanion at Waller in San Francisco. You can give them a call, 415-386-9292, and make sure you tell them that F1 Weekly rocks. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California Carters. For more information, contact CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and add us as a friend. And I have to admit that a lot of tweets have been coming in following F1 Weekly. I don't know how people do it, but I love it. Keep them coming, folks. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email me, info@F1Weekly.com. Enjoy the race, and good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.